Is Those Who Remain worth our time? We're going to find out. Welcome, everyone, to episode 159 of 1 Hour, One Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and this time play a requested game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, do we want to know who remains?
Will it be one of us? Will it be none of us? Will it be both of us?
We'll find out. But we are talking about Those Who Remain by Camel 101. This game came out supposedly May of 2020. I think it's actually a little bit farther. I have to double check my notes. I'll update that whenever we do that. That's besides the point. This game, he played on PC. I played this lovely game on the PC. And it was 11.33 gigabytes on the PC. Tom, what about you?
It's very close on the Series S. 11.39 gigabytes. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ever so, just a hair larger.
Larger. And before I just jump into what kind of game this is, I do also want to shout out Michael from Bits of Time Media was the one that requested this game for us to check out. It's one of the newer games that actually dropped in Game Pass. So he was like, hey, this looks interesting. Why don't you guys give it a shout? And give their podcast check out too, because they do good stuff. They do some good, interesting stuff. But Tom, what kind of game is this?
I have mystery survival horror.
Okay.
And you?
I have first person thriller.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
But not thriller makes me think of Michael Jackson every time I hear it. So
yes, yeah. Well, you know,
nobody did that dance in this game.
No way.
Well, not in the first hour.
Yeah. At least not in the first. But what was that loop in that first hour though? Let's talk about that.
Well, I have walk around turning on the lights. Show the shadow men don't stab you.
Yeah, I put pick up stuff and see if it works to progress the story and turn the lights on so you don't get poked in the throat.
Ooh, I like what you did there.
You do get poked in the throat, at least the times that
yeah.
I was like, my God, I guess that's one way of ending someone's life. And
yeah,
it's pretty efficient. The lights went out for him. And let's go talk about those likes in this game, Tom. What did we like, game?
I'd say it's pretty easy to pick up and play. Not a whole lot of controls to learn here,
nope.
Even for a novice person of video gaming.
Yeah, very. I actually don't want to say it's on rails. That's not it. Like you said, you're literally have very few buttons to use. You do have to get be somewhat familiar with first person controls.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there's that, right? But other than that, there's really not. There's an interact button, a button to tell you click so you can figure out the objective, and I think there's a run button. There's a run button as well. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all you need to do in this game. So yeah, I agree. It was definitely a very easy game to pick up. I also thought that the premise game went creepy very early, and I thought this game reminded me Alan Wake in a way. I don't know if you've ever played
okay.
that game.
Okay. No, I could see the connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like kind of the same thing where the guy's kind of talking to himself and like there's just like this mist, like the people that are out there are kind of these shadowy figures and you kind of beat them by turning on the lights. And in Alan Wake, you're flashing lights. That's how you weaken them and then you shoot them. So kind of similar, but now it's in first person. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Alan Wake was something that that influenced these guys here. So
yeah,
so that was pretty interesting to see. I mean, yeah, definitely creepy vibes. I thought that the they did a good job where, the first time you see those, the guy, like just the blue eyes just kind of staring at you. It's kind of creepy. Definitely creepy.
Yeah, so. I think the game was good at creating tension and like a general sense of unease.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of on the edge of your seat the whole time you're playing it because you don't know what's going
right.
to grab you.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought the other thing, well, the game starts off with your character trying to end a relationship
yes.
with someone. And then I guess kind of stuff happens in this town. Very, very odd stuff happened. And then you're just trying to figure out what the heck, someone steals your car in the middle while you're trying to end things with this mistress of yours.
And yeah,
you know, that's basically what happened. I thought the music, even though it was very sporadic, was pretty good for what it was. You know, like, you know, you're at a hotel, you hear kind of like this bluesy music, and then you're at a gas station, you hear kind of a country music, I believe. So it was like, you know, it, and then like the, you know, kind of the orchestral music that's there to kind of pick up the adding the tension to certain scenes in the game too. I thought that was pretty good. What else did you like about this?
I appreciated that the plot, like the objectives that are related to the plot, like that'll move the game forward. Yeah. They're highlighted. So you can see them even from like a distance.
Mm-hmm.
The game, while you're going to have to hunt for certain things,
right?
It's when you've got the thing that you need to move forward in the plot, right. You know that you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Like there's a lot of stuff where it's like, this is not the right thing. This is not the right thing. But when it is the right thing, you know.
Right. Right. Very true. Very true. And I think you also, we kind of talked about the plot in itself. You said it was.
Yeah. I think the plot is strange. I think that if you're the kind of person who's into mysteries, likes being dropped into a scenario and being like, I have no idea what's going on. Like some people like that. I mean, obviously there's a market for that.
Right.
I was definitely left in the dark, both figuratively and literally in this game. So
yeah. Very true. This game is dark and in both ways. And cool. Are we good with our likes? Should we get to our dislikes?
Yeah. Yes. And thank you, Chris, for giving me a beautiful segue. This whole game is frustratingly dark. Even when you like put the settings on max, because that's what I did. I went in there and I was like, I turned the gamma all the way up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's still dark.
Yeah. I thought it was also hilarious when you're doing that gamma check the first time. I was like, why is there a chocolate person or a chocolate covered person in the shadows? It was pretty comical looking at that. And I agree. I cranked it all the way up. I would not know how you play this game on like recommended gamma settings, because there was just, it would have been incredibly dark, and then you would have just been unable to go anywhere. I think you probably would have died like every second of that game, because you'd just be dead. Like there'd be someone stabbing you in the throat constantly. And Tom, this is a first person game.
Yeah.
No feet.
Missed opportunity.
It really is. You know, I just hope one day it becomes like law that you need to put feet into your first person shooter. You know,
we'll call it Chris's law.
Yeah,
Chris's law of first person shooters or first person games.
That's all I care about. I mean, if what do you call it? What was that game? We play Supraland can do it. We do it. I'm just saying. What else was there? I thought, you know what? I thought that premise was interesting, but this game was very frustrating to play because it felt like a first person point and click adventure game. And not in the good way, because even at the very first part of the game where you're trying to figure out how do you get into this room where your mistress is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to the hotel, you get the logbook, you know, oh, okay, she's in room two. Go to the room two. The door's locked. And you're like, where is it? So you go back to the lobby. You think, oh, hey, there's keys over here in the key thing. Not there. There's a door behind. Not there. Who leaves a key under the mat at a motel? I was just furiously clicking the interact button the entire time, and it was really frustrating. It just got worse after. I got to say,
did you find it by dumb luck?
Yeah,
you pulled up the mat, and underneath the mat was the key.
Yeah.
So if you go back into the main office,
uh-huh.
In the back room, you have to turn on the lights, and in the back room, there's a note in like one of the, it doesn't even make sense where this thing is. Like,
okay.
It's in like in the back room in a drawer is a note that says that underneath the mat is the key. I ransacked the whole office because I was like, the key's got to be in the office somewhere was my logic. So I literally opened every drawer and pushed like, you know.
Yeah.
And I found a note that said, no, dummy, the key is under the mat. And then I was like,
wow,
for real? Okay. And then I turned around, went back. I'm sure there it was.
But who wrote that note?
She did.
And she left it in the back room of this.
Exactly. Exactly.
What?
I don't understand how it got there. I don't understand how it got there.
That was a very suspect room, by the way. It was just a, you know, just four walls maybe, and a door, obviously. And then there was just pinup girls all over the place.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on in this room, but thankfully there was no black light there. So I'm,
yeah,
that would have been a problem, I would think. What else? The audio, while I thought the audio was good musically wise, I thought the audio overall, and especially for a game like this, which I feel like is really important, was choppy. And what I mean by that is later on in the game, like I think there starts to be like the game, it starts to rain, I think a little bit or something like that. And it's just like cuts off when you're like, so it's like when you're outside, it's very loud. And then once you're in, there's like, there's no transition. I feel like it was just immediately, okay, once you're in, it's off. Like you're done. Like,
okay.
But it just felt very odd. And like, and that was just, and not only that though, when you're picking up, because you pick up a lot of things as you might have noticed, and you throw them and they all sound the same. So you like, you pick up a pan, you throw it, it just thuds like a rock. And then you pick up a box, same thing. Like all of it sounds the same. So it was like, they just didn't have a good Foley artist or someone that they just, you know, put the correct sound effects. If you're going to put all that stuff in there and you're going to let me throw it around, I want to hear it. And you pointed out something about bottles of liquor.
Yeah.
Like glass too. Glass didn't shatter. It just kind of thuds on the ground. So
there's a lot of pointless object interaction.
Yeah.
You can pick up and throw like tons of stuff.
Right.
But none of it serves a purpose.
No.
And then there are things like you get into that hotel room and the water's running in the shower and you can't shut off the water in the shower. Like,
right,
it's like I can, right, interact with everything that I don't need to interact with. And then the things that like are kind of like the obvious object interactions don't, right, work.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that the shower curtains were like apparently impenetrable, like you couldn't touch them at all, was just like, what is going on here? I guess they just wanted to make sure you hear, but I thought something was going to jump out of there, to be honest. Like that's like, and that was, you know, that would have been kind of scary. And, you know, I tried to throw things at the shadowy figures. Nothing happened. So yeah. I thought at least I could, the idea is that you could use those objects to maybe cast, like flick a light switch,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
nothing
from a nothing. Distance, activate a light switch with the thrown object.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, yeah, wasn't great. I wasn't great about that. I was not thrilled about that. And like I said, like we talked about before, I felt like a lot of it was just dumb luck figuring out what you need to do next, even though it does say what objectives are.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times I was just like, okay, I'm just going to click away until I find, like, I don't know if you got to this point where there was a car and then you, yes, kind of like jump between worlds.
Yes.
And then it was like, okay, why would there be a key in a mailbox? Like what? Like just, it felt gamey. Does that make sense? It felt gamey, yeah, more than it did part of the world.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It was just very disjointed in that. That's how I would describe it.
It's also the kind of game that almost like should be on rails.
Right.
But like at points isn't. So yeah, like that car in one version of the world is just sitting there, but you can't seem to open the door.
Right.
And then when you go to the other world, it's covered in a vine.
Yeah.
And you need to use like weed killer to kill the vine in that world so that in the other world you can touch the door. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that there were vines wrapped around this car in the other world.
Right.
So, and I get like a weed killer and he's just like, ah, this is exactly what I need. And I'm like, why do you need
this?
For what? For what purpose? to huff it? Like,
yeah. I can end my life here. Because he does start, I think the game starts, yes, off with him trying to kill himself. So it's like, maybe this is his other way of getting him out of this prison here. But yeah, I agree. It, like a lot of times, that's the other thing too. The voice acting was like, kind of hit or miss. Like it started off pretty good. And then like later on in the game, what's going on? And some of the player models, yeesh, they were not great. Like there was a girl that you see, like I was like, what's going on? Is she one of the demons? Like it was,
yeah,
she looked,
yeah,
pretty scary. And yeah, so that was kind of frustrating. And I think you have another thing here that was a bit frustrating, which was replay sections.
Oh yeah. So like if you're brute forcing this game, and I feel like in most instances you probably are, You end up doing a whole lot of wandering around, solving objectives by brute force,
yeah,
which leads you to, or led me to, getting killed a bunch, you know, yeah, by the creatures,
yeah,
because you're testing the boundaries of how close can you get to them, right, to turn on the lights and things like that. There's no manual save, mm-hmm, so you have to just go back to whenever the game last felt like saving, and sometimes that's too long ago.
Yeah. You did bring up one thing that I will give credit to the game for, which is it does give you a good visual idea of like when you're about to be in danger, which is like the screen kind of, mm-hmm, shakes and wobbles.
Yes, yes.
Be like, okay, you shouldn't be here. So in that way, yeah, you have the bounds of what you can interact with. But again, like you said, a lot of it of just useless interactions that happen throughout this game. So yeah, that was unfortunate. And it was just like, I felt like also for a first person game, it felt very clunky to move around in.
Yeah, I think that may have been intentional to create tension and stress in the same way that the original Resident Evil is hard to control. Like,
yeah, I mean, but Resident Evil 7 didn't feel as clunky as this.
No, that's true.
That had a lot of tension too, because it was in first person. And like, I think they did a good job because it's like, you're forced to view things, obviously, like in this first person view. So there's a lot of that. I don't know. It's just, I mean, I get it. It's apples and oranges here when you're comparing Resident Evil 7 to this game. So, you know, so be it. But yeah, that's, those are my dislikes. Tom, are you done with your dislikes? Should we get to our other thoughts?
Yes, I think I'm ready to move on.
Okay. This game, according to How Long to Beat, takes about 5 hours to.
Okay.
Fairly short game. Yeah. It does have Xbox Cloud saves, and it is xCloud compatible. So,
okay,
if you want to be able to play it remotely or on your Xbox and jump on to your PC, you could do that. But what are the thoughts you got here?
So as we touched on, this is not developed by a major game studio.
Right.
This studio was founded by two brothers, Ricardo and Bruno Sestiero, I think is how that's pronounced. Okay. Okay. And I found it interesting that their team is actually spread across the globe. So, you know, they have people in Portugal, people in the US, people in Croatia, and they're all working together remotely. It's not a normal office type situation.
Oh, okay.
They've produced a couple of other games. One of them is called Gemini Wars, and the other one is called, oh boy, Syndrome.
Okay. Looking at your notes.
Yes.
I had a problem there a little bit too. Like, what? It's interesting that the game was founded by two brothers because it was requested by two brothers,
and
Larry and Michael. So there you go. How fortuitous, maybe.
Yeah.
This was requested made by two brothers. Oh, well, you know, founded by this dude. Anyway, so cool. Now, Tom. Is this a game that we're going to be keeping on our respective hard drives, or are we leaving it where it should be left in the dark?
Sounds like you have an opinion, Chris. Do you want to go first?
Well, Tom, and Larry and Michael, if you're listening to this, I appreciate the request, but this was not a thrilling time. This was not a good time. I will not be remaining here with this game, so I'm passing on.
Okay. Well, bad news, brothers, whether they be requesters or developers. Wandering around in the dark is literally one of my least favorite things to do in a game or just in life. And 90% of the game is exactly that.
Right.
So if you don't like wandering around pseudo aimlessly in the dark, you are not going to enjoy this.
Right.
That said, I think it was interesting to attempt this. It is different from most games that I play.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately have no interest in continuing playing this.
Yeah.
I just think maybe it's just not the right genre for me. I don't think any game in this genre is really going to grab me.
Right.
I could be wrong.
You know what I was thinking about just now? For a game that really requires a lot of, you know, playing with the dark and light and stuff like that, you would think that they'd really work on that lighting system.
You would think. You would think that would be like their their principal.
That was like the one thing they had to get right. And well, you know, it is what it is, but good attempt. But those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D or shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com or, you know, check us out on Twitch. You can complain about our games there if you want, but twitch.tv/1H1D. And, you know, Tom, we are on TV Network. So if you like any cool gaming content, please check us and all the other cool stuff out there at quitthebuild.com/network. And also we're on YouTube. So if you see this on YouTube, you want to send us a comment, please do that. We'll try to respond once in a while. I don't know. But yeah, Tom, now we do need to find out what we're playing next.
We do. And I am going to throw a curveball into the mix here.
Okay.
Because I have a very close personal friend who suggested that we play a game called Pal World, which is touted as Pokemon with guns. Now, not only has my friend suggested it, I also have a coworker who simultaneously, without knowing, only knowing Tom, both individuals know Tom and say,
right,
this seems like the kind of thing Tom would like. So it's coming to Game Pass and we're going to play it, Chris.
Yeah, it's piqued Tom's interest in a way enough for him to present it to the show. So that's what we're going to be playing. And you know, that's this episode. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this one. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.